Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure.
Greetings.
Once upon a time.
We can't say the H word because Liv's dog will bark if we say H-E-L-L-O.
In a faraway land lived a very annoying Maltese Yorkie mix, a Morky, if you will. Her name was Zoe, and she made her owner's life a living hell. But we loved her very much. Yes, we did.
She's still sweet.
Yes, we did. She's looking very perplexed.
Yes.
She, like, knows we're talking about her.
Yes. And she also knows that we greeted someone, but she does not see anyone present.
So she's confused. She's, like, watching the door. Like,
yeah, she is coming. Watching the door really intently.
But yeah, welcome to another week of Cinderella Month.
Yes. I am, I'm excited to watch this one again. It's been a
Me
while
too.
Since I've seen it.
I hope that it's as good as I remember.
That's what I'm feeling, too.
Yeah. So, should we jump right in, or should we talk about how we're doing and the vibe?
Yeah. I am doing well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty chill week.
Mm-hmm. Work is super chill right now, which is nice.
Weather's nice. My car is a shade that's not yellow.
Right.
The pollen's kind of dying down. Fully vaccinated. People are kind of starting to feel comfortable being around each other without masks again.
Right. Life is good.
Yeah.
I have a vacation on the horizon. I'm not going anywhere crazy. I'm going to be COVID safe, but I am going to go to the beach.
Nice.
And I'm going to just sit my vaccinated butt in the sand and soak in some sun.
Yep.
So that'll be really nice. And I think I'm gonna start reading Shadow and Bone soon, which is Lizzie's new obsession.
Yes, that's going to be probably post Cinderella month. We'll do a Shadow and Bone binge.
I feel like we should do Bingeton first.
We should do Bingeton
because we
first.
Talked about doing it for a while.
We should.
And then we should do Shadow and Bone.
Yes.
You talked about showing me earlier. I kind of want to wait and just see it fresh during our Shadow and Bone-geton.
Yes.
That didn't work.
I like how you still included the Bridgerton aspect.
Yeah, it
of
doesn't
it
work.
In there.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, especially
Shadow and Binge would have been the right way to say it, but I messed that up pretty
That's
royally.
Okay. That's okay.
Speaking of
Let's
royally,
be real, it would also be a Barnge, because Ben Barnes is the.
You know, growing up, I thought Ben Barnes was just okay.
I think you're going to like him much more.
The older he gets,
oh, yeah.
And the more, like, morally complex his characters are, the more interested I am. Like, have you seen Westworld?
I have not seen Westworld.
Ooh, he's hot.
I don't know.
He's a bad person, but he's attractive.
I don't know if I'm going to watch Westworld. I just know some of the stuff in the show, and I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
I don't know much about the third season. I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they kind of, like, leave the, like, whole Wild West aesthetic behind, and that is sad to me. I could be wrong. I don't know. I know they've played with, like, some other kind of, like, they went to, like, there's like a feudal Japan world that they went to, and that was pretty cool.
But it's interesting the parallels between those two kinds of worlds.
Yes, they're very similar, like samurais and cowboys, kind of, at least in lore, if not in
history.
I don't know enough about samurai history to be able to comment on it. Also, I feel like cowboys, like when we think of cowboys, a lot of people think of like sheriffs and U.S. marshals, and it's like, nah, cowboys were just, like, herding cows.
Yeah.
You know, and eating beans and stuff. Still cool, but, like, I don't think it's quite what we think it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like that was a tangent.
Yeah, we went on many there. So, you were transitioning after you said we're gonna do that.
Yes. So we brought up royalty. So, this week's film is the 2015 live-action Cinderella.
Yep.
Yeah.
From... We both talked about this before we started, that we're both hoping that this is as good and as pleasant as we remember it being.
Yeah.
To my recollection, this is the only, aside from, like, the rare offshoots, like the Glenn Close 101 Dalmatians, this is the only Disney live-action remake that I liked.
Okay. I use a lot of hyperbole when I talk about things, and I'll say things like, fight me, and I don't mean it. But I mean this with the utmost sincerity. I have hated every Disney live-action film that was a live-action version of a cartoon,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of this one. This is hard stop the only one I've liked.
Mm.
The Jungle Book was all right, but it was boring.
Yeah.
All the other ones have been garbage.
Yeah.
I really want to watch Beauty and the Beast on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's my trash, it's just trash, but yeah. I want a chance. And, you know, at this point, everyone on the internet has done it. It's no shocker, you know, like... Anything I could say has already been said a thousand times before. I just want a chance to rant about it. But I genuinely like this one. I have a lot bad to say about it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this one, too. I will stand up for the... and maybe it's because I grew up with it. I did grow up with the Glenn Close 101 Dalmatians. And I did legitimately like that one, if only because Glenn Close is just
that one insane. Was all right.
I don't prefer it over the animated one,
right?
But it was at least different enough.
This one, I hold in a different place in my heart than the animated one because they're very different films.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that this one was an honest to God adaptation, not a copy and paste of a better movie.
I agree.
I like that they actually changed some things. I liked the addition of the mother character.
Yeah.
I liked her relationship with the prince. I love the prince.
Yeah. And all of this, I think where a lot of people you know, look at this movie the wrong way is if you watch this and think, yes, this is here to fix the problems with the original Cinderella, first off, no, it really doesn't need fixing. Mm-hmm. This is just an adaptation.
Yeah. If you think that Cinderella is, like, wrong, or that she didn't do enough,
And we had a conversation about this last time. Yeah, we have,
you know. But if you think that, then I think you need to do some soul searching, because Cinderella was treated really horribly by a lot of people. And she just wanted one night of happiness. And I don't think that's a bad story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that this Cinderella kind of keeps the gentleness of the original Cinderella. Sometimes there's a propensity to... Like with the Drew Barrymore one. I don't mind the sword fighting part last week. But, like, what I hate is just that, like... There was never any indication that her dad taught her to sword fight until that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that it wasn't set up.
Yeah.
It just felt like they threw it in to be like, hashtag girl boss.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I really appreciated about this movie, I feel like they felt like they had to have courage on the front half of their statement so that the line wasn't just be kind. And mm-hmm. I understand that. It's not as pleasing to hear just be kind.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I don't think she shows particular courage in this, and that's not a bad mm-hmm. thing. But what I love about this movie is that it is her kindness that is her defining trait, and that it's not portrayed as weakness.
Right.
And also that they really... I think Kenneth Branagh said, I wanted a story where kindness was a superpower.
Yes.
And that's what this feels like. It really feels like, you know, we got on such a girl boss kick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good that we have the ability to have more nuanced and not prim and proper characters mm-hmm. all the time. But to have a character who... We push too far in the opposite direction of, like, yeah, you don't have to be nice. Like,
yeah.
No, it is good to be kind.
Because here's the problem. Good feminism says that, like, women should be able to be authentically themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, if
make your authentic self kind.
Right, if the only story that you're telling is about gentle, demure women, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If the only story you're telling is about, like, rambunctious, feisty, like, you can't tell me what to do, down with the patriarchy women, that's also a problem. Because what it means to actually have good female representation is to show a variety of women mm-hmm. as women actually are. Mm-hmm. Because there are women who are rough and tumble and ready to fight. There are Mulans in the world, and there are Belles in the world, and there are Cinderellas in the world. Mm-hmm. And all of those women can coexist and respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. They don't all have to be strong in the same way. And I think that's what I like about the idea of have courage and be kind.
Mm-hmm.
I think her courage isn't that she, like, faces down an army
yeah.
or sword fights her way out of a sticky situation. Her courage is that she refuses to become jaded in a world that treats her horribly.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think I had a little bit of the... I think I was sort of reading into the title a little bit of, like, you know, what, like, the brave problem mm-hmm. where, like, quick, what are we going to call our movie about a feisty princess? I know, brave. And you ask yourself, like, when is she brave?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it kind of felt like we need this to tick off, like, kind of the
yeah.
power box a little bit.
It's honestly just not a good name.
No, I did not like the Disney quick, let's name all our movies adjectives
mm-hmm.
phase.
I honestly, like... would have been... Tangled is cute. I would have been just as happy if they called the film
Rapunzel. Oh, just call it Rapunzel.
Yeah, like, just call them the name of the OG fairy tale.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't have any qualms with the naming overall.
Yeah.
Brave was frustrating because that's not even the theme of the movie.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it felt like it didn't really have anything to do with
it. It was going to be called The Bear and the Bow.
It's what it should have been called.
Yeah. It's why I actually really respect Raya and the Last Dragon for
yeah,
being called,
like, call it what
Raya
it is.
And the Last Dragon.
I still haven't seen it. Have you?
I have.
Is it good?
It is. It is, it is, my favorite parts about it are, the world and character designs
mm-hmm.
are absolutely gorgeous. Those are my favorite things. I think that the storyline is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to list it as, like, a personal fave,
mm-hmm.
but it was very good. It was very
yeah.
well done. There were some gorgeous, gorgeous shots throughout the movie, and there were a lot of nice little nods to... like, martial arts movies through some of the shots.
Cool.
I kind of wish they'd actually had more of that,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes when you're watching it, you're very much reminded that you're watching, like, a post-2010 Disney film,
mm-hmm.
and other times it feels like they're trying to have these nods to...
Yeah.
Like,
maybe they should have just doubled down and committed.
Yeah, I kind of would have really, really, really appreciated that. And it,
Yeah.
It was good.
Really, really, like, random segue. Because, like, I don't know that much about martial arts films.
Mm-hmm.
But I thoroughly enjoyed...
Neither do I.
Right.
Just saying.
But I thoroughly enjoyed everyone I've seen. And I think it's kind of an underrated style. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it used to be appreciated, yeah. And then, like, I think everyone was kind of like, ooh, like, 70s are cringe, and those movies came out in the 70s, you know what I mean? But yeah. I feel like now we need to, like, take another look and be like, oh, yeah. So, like, I'm really excited for, the new Marvel movie that's coming out. Is it the Ten Rings?
Yes, I
can't remember the name.
I haven't even watched the trailer or anything for it yet.
Oh, the trailer looks so good. I'm really excited. Like, okay. Because I knew nothing about that superhero. I
don't think many people know much.
No, but he looks awesome. Also, just kind of bridging the two together, Awkwafina is going to be in that film. Okay. And I know she voiced the dragon, right?
She was either the lead girl or the dragon.
I think the lead girl was Kelly Marie Tran.
You're probably right. I know they were both the two leads. I'm just not sure which one is which. I think Awkwafina. I think you're right. I think Awkwafina was the dragon.
I have not seen Awkwafina physically in a lot of films, but she is a stellar voice actress. Mm. Like, I'm sure she's a wonderful actress, but yeah. Like, I've really enjoyed her voice work that I've heard.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was way off topic. But yeah, so we're going to watch Cinderella. We kind of have a vibe check, sort of.
A little bit.
We're recording this on Cinco de Mayo. So
we had to have something with tequila in it.
But
so.
We also had to...
it had to be pink.
It had to be like...
Even though she doesn't wear pink.
But it had to be like Cinderella-y mm-hmm. and like... fruity and girly.
This is a Rosarita.
A Rosarita. So
rosé and tequila, basically.
Yeah. It's something. I don't hate it.
I don't think I'd rush to make it again.
No.
Not too bad.
But it wasn't bad. But yeah, so that's what we're drinking tonight. Let's talk a little bit about the movie. I mean, we haven't really been talking that much about the plot of the films. I don't feel like we need to.
This one, we don't.
Like, it's Cinderella. It is what it is. It's, you know, it's the Cinderella story that we all know and love.
Yep. This has a 83% tomato meter, 78% audience score.
On Metacritic, it has a 67, so it still is, like critic score, and a 7.4 user score. And Metacritic tends to be a little harsher than mm-hmm. Rotten Tomatoes, but I think that still kind of shows that, like, this movie was pretty well received.
Yes. I remember it seemed to have this, like, oh, they can actually do these live-action remakes well.
And not let them, not make them suck.
Yeah, and I don't really... I think after the success of this, Disney just doubled down and cranking these out as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they paid attention to what made this one work.
No, because, you know, then they also felt like all of their live-action remakes had to be a response to criticisms that had happened to their original films.
Which this one really doesn't do that much. Other than that she meets the prince earlier. That's really it.
But they also just wanted to develop him as a character more.
Right. Because if you get Richard Madden to play somebody, you want to give him, like, a little bit of meat in his role.
Yes.
So, I think that's a bad take. I think, because we can talk about this if we ever watch Beauty and the Beast, but part of my issue with Beauty and the Beast is that in trying to develop the characters more and fix the problems, mm-hmm. they took away all the characters' personality, mm-hmm. except for the Beast. They turned him into the most vile character.
Yep.
I've never... So you know this about me. We've talked about our favorite Disney princes.
Yes.
Mine is Prince Adam. Mm-hmm. I love the Beast. He's a sweetheart, and we stan a man who's willing to admit when he's wrong yep. and be sensitive. And I think he's cute, and I love him. And they took my favorite prince... and they ruined him, and then they took my favorite princess and they gave her no personality.
Yep.
And I will never forget them for it. However,
this film kind of does the opposite. Like, they take a character who objectively is not a character in mm-hmm. the original film. Like, the prince is not a character,
no.
and that's not a bad thing.
Right.
If, you know, well, it's hard because, like, you know, I want to say, like, it's okay that you have a character in there who doesn't have any personality.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm also like, well, but it's also frustrating when you see that happen to women characters mm-hmm. again and again and again.
Yeah.
But it's so rare with guy characters mm-hmm. to be just the object of affection and not be a character.
I don't think that's an inherently bad thing. I think it's just bad, like we were talking about, when it's the only thing that happens.
Yeah. So they wanted to get, make him more of a character here, and I think they did so well. I think they fleshed out the stepmother well.
I love her.
If there's any critique I have with this film, the only characters that I feel like are steps backward are, and I may feel differently after rewatching it. I love the animated stepsisters so much.
I love the animated stepsisters.
And then
I barely remember them. They're forgettable and annoying. Whereas like the other ones were annoying in the best way possible.
Yes. And then I also I'm not a huge fan of Helena Bonham Carter, Fairy Godmother.
We're gonna talk about her. I feel like I have a whole thing.
Okay.
About her. Okay. I feel like we need to talk about that. Because she is actually my biggest criticism of this film.
Okay. So we'll save that
for
after. And
I love me some Helena Bonham Carter. But yeah, I hate her in this role.
But I am excited to watch it again. And I remember thinking this movie was beautiful. And so I'm anticipating feeling that same way again.
Mm-hmm. Last thing before we start watching it, quick shout out to Kenneth Branagh. A love letter. Dear Kenneth Branagh, I don't always love your acting decisions, but I love how you direct your films.
Yeah.
I think you're a good actor and a wonderful director. And I think nobody knows how to do Shakespeare on the screen like you.
Oh my gosh, Much Ado About Nothing.
It's so good. I actually really dislike his Benedict, but I like a lot of the other things about the film.
Oh, I still like his Benedict.
I like it. He's just not my favorite. Right. I had the misfortune.
It's hard when you've seen David Tennant play that character.
I had the misfortune of seeing David Tennant first.
Yeah, that ruins all of it.
The one, I don't remember the actor's name, but in the Globe Theater production, he's real good. I like him a lot.
Guy from Downton Abbey, whose name I never remember.
He's real good.
I love that version.
I do too. It's really good.
It's really funny.
But yeah, so he's just not my favorite Benedict. He is an excellent Henry V. I love that movie. I love it so much. So dear Kenneth Branagh,
you make gorgeous movies.
We love you.
Also,
we miss you.
You taught me the meaning of the word loquacious, and for that, I will be forever grateful.
Cheers. A toast.
A toast.
To Kenneth, Sir Kenneth Branagh, right? He's knighted, isn't he?
He's knighted. A toast to Miguel.
He is Miguel. I always forget
that. That's why I learned the word loquacious. Let your sword do the talking. I will. It will be loquacious to a fault.
All right, so we're gonna watch Cinderella. Bye.
Bye.
I love that movie.
It makes me feel many things.
I liked that movie more than I remember liking it.
I think I've become a much more critical movie watcher since the last time I watched it. And honestly, in the beginning, I was worried because I was being very, very critical. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the movie gets better as it goes on.
It does. It builds well. Here's my thing. In about 90% of movies, maybe even 95% of movies, I feel like I have a pretty critical eye. Mm-hmm. If you make it even slightly cottagecore... I forgive so much.
You talked about how you thought Kenneth Branagh was just internally a cottagecore lesbian.
I think he is. I think he's a cottagecore lesbian trapped in a straight man's body.
Yeah.
I think he just wants to, like, read Shakespeare and frolic through, like, the fields of Italy in, like, a white... blouse.
This is the best combination of cottagecore and royaltycore. If anyone ever wanted to know what my aesthetic is, I might just point them to the ball of this movie. And we talked about that as well, that like, in the ranking of Cinderella movie balls, this is the best one.
Agreed. 100% agree. I feel like we'll definitely, I think we should definitely rank them at the end.
Yes.
But yeah, I do think this is number one. I also think this is my favorite prince.
Oh, yes.
Brandy Cinderella is my second favorite.
I was going to say, that one is close.
He's great. He's so good. But what separates this prince out to me is, and it's not necessarily even acting choices, because I think both the actors did a really good job with what they had. The lines that he delivers, though, in this one, the script is just everything that I want from a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cute. And he loves his dad.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to talk about that later. I feel like we need to do our what didn't work and what did divider so that I can fully devote myself to talking about Kit and his dad.
I have three things that don't work.
Okay, tell me your three things that don't work.
Okay. I don't love the evil stepsisters.
No, and like, I still feel that way.
Yeah, I wanted them. They always looked slightly out of place. Like, to me...
Yes.
In terms of the costume design... Lady Tremaine, evil stepmother, if you're not a complete nerd, she always dresses in a way that is very clearly 1950s inspired.
Yes.
But feels somehow classic and fairy tale.
It feels like it fits. It's distinct, but it fits.
It feels like it fits.
The stepsisters are distinct, but they look like out of place.
And they don't look out of place in the, like, the stepsisters are awkward kind of way. Yes. It looks like their costumes are in the wrong movie.
Like, okay, speaking of what our possibly next project will be, it doesn't look like Featherington sister out of place, where it's like, ooh, those are some unfortunate fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
These are the most unfortunate fabrics, but... They also just are on... They're weirdly shaped.
They look like they... What it looks like is, like a Joann's Fabric, pattern that you could buy. Sorry, my dog is scratching at the door. It looks like a Joann's Fabrics, like, pattern that they bought. And then instead of making the dress, they decided to, like, crochet it and tie it together with ribbons. It's like, but it looks distinctly 1950s. It does not look, come on.
Hello, puppy.
Let the poo in. We call her poo sometimes in case we haven't discussed that. Cause she's stinky. But yeah, it looks like very 1950s, but not in a, we're hearkening back to the 1950s. Kind of as a subtle nod to the era that the film, the original Disney film came out in.
Yeah.
Instead, it just looks like the like worst of the film.
Yeah.
It's not hearkening back to it. It is like this silhouette is straight out of the 50s, and we did nothing to change it except for we made it ugly.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and they're just annoying. They don't feel
the. The sisters in the animated one, we were talking about this earlier, felt like just the right amount of annoying. The sisters in the Brandy Cinderella, because it's a musical, they can be really over the top and silly, and they're clearly meant to be comical.
Yes.
These sisters never made me laugh.
No, they're just awkward. And something else, too, is that... In the original, we talked about this a little bit while we were watching this. In the original Disney movie, Lady Tremaine is obviously the cruelest. She is evil, and horribly abusive. And she is the same in this film.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the original film... The stepsisters are an extension of her, and she uses them as tools to further Cinderella's torment.
Yeah.
As opposed to in this one, it feels like she instigates the torment, and then the girls follow her lead.
Yeah.
And what I like more about the original Disney film is that it adds to the depth of her villainy, because you see not only is she abusive, not only is she cruel, but she's manipulative because she has she can manipulate her daughters into experiencing such hatred and cruelty. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, when you follow that up with Cinderella 3, it kind of brings home this idea that, like, maybe the stepsisters aren't evil. Mm. Maybe they've been trained to be evil by this horrible woman.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, they're just annoying.
Yes.
They never really feel evil. They just feel vapid and dumb and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like them.
I agree. What is your second?
Second point... Let me do my smallest one. I love almost every moment of the script, and I don't even hate this scripting. These actors deliver almost every line impeccably.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end of the film,
yeah.
he, like, the prince, who is Richard Madden, we'll talk more about him when we get to the parts we like, but he turns around, and he has delivered every line with such heart and such conviction, and then he's like, my queen.
And, my queen!
My queen! Oh, king of the north! And it starts snowing, right?
Right.
King of the north! Anyways, but he's like, my queen. And then she turns around, and she goes, my kit. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, amazing.
And the line, I'm like, Kenneth Branagh, Kenneth, buddy, old pal.
Could we not get another take?
Can we not direct that a little differently? But that's it. That's really my only, like, directorial and line delivery mm-hmm. issue. Everything else, I love.
Yeah.
And then my last bit, and you kind of, I think you're going to agree with me on this one.
Okay.
I want to preface this by saying that Helena Bonham Carter mm-hmm. is a wonderful actress, and I love her. And I like most of what she does in every other movie. I just don't think she's a good choice for the fairy godmother.
No.
Her narration is beautiful.
The narration is wonderful, and I honestly would have loved if she just did the narration and we had cast someone else as the fairy godmother.
Somebody a little more...
She's supposed to be matronly.
Yeah,
like she's supposed motherly. To be motherly. Because it,
Julie Walters, or is it Waters? I don't know. Mama Weasley would be a good choice. Or like, help. Judi Dench could be better. You know, someone who's a little older.
I hate to keep harkening back to the animated one, but I feel like we're supposed to because
it's an homage. It's a you know
when she shows up in the first one. Cinderella is crying in her lap and she's stroking her hair like
she materializes it's underneath okay. Cinderella.
Yeah, she's meant to be a comforting figure.
Yeah.
And I will say, as changes go, I actually really like her first appearing as this like grizzled old woman asking for, mm-hmm. you know, help. And we both said we liked the line, like, milk is nothing. But the kindness, mix it with kindness, it's everything.
Yeah.
Like, that was good. You know, I think that part worked well. Mm-hmm. But then it just, I told you, I couldn't understand what she was saying half the time.
Yeah, it's really, like, garbled and I mentioned this, too. I really like... I love the design of the dress when she
being
transforms.
Really big and over the top.
Yeah, when she transforms into, like, younger fairy godmother,
mm-hmm.
but not for the fairy godmother. Like, that dress in a different movie on a different character, I would have loved. It just didn't feel right for this movie, this character.
Yeah.
I just wanted... I like the old robes and the, you know...
Mm-hmm.
And even if they didn't do that, even if they wanted to do something a little different, I feel like they could have made her look less campy is the word that comes to mind.
It's very camp.
And everything else is so... Serious is the wrong word, but
yeah.
so aesthetic that the campiness of it clashes
yeah.
a little.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Yeah, but that's really the only thing that, like, stood out to me as,
yeah.
like, these are elements that I think could have been executed better, which, considering how many other things I'm normally nitpicking on in films,
yeah.
I don't think that's, you know...
So for me, there were a couple nitpicky things for me, and they were mostly story-centered. I said that I really liked the dialogue in this movie, that it has this very
it's really good.
Fairy tale tone to it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that. Smaller things that I was mentioning in the beginning. We talked about this a little bit, and you mentioned it's not a deal breaker for you. It's not really for me, but in the original story, her father remarries when she's still a bit younger so that she has a mother growing up, and that sort of makes the betrayal worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like the change in this of him marrying her when she's an adult. Mm-hmm. And like the abuse starting right mm-hmm. before the father dies. I think there's something to be said for the stepmother's implicit cruelty when Cinderella is still a child that mm-hmm. really makes it sting a little bit. That was a small thing. Like that's not. I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, that's not really a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, I can see your issue with it. Like it feels to me like the thing is had her father not died, had he come home to see her being treated the way that she was being treated, the stepmother would have been cast out of that house yeah. in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been like, how dare you? Mm-hmm. You know? So, it
felt strange.
It's like they're trying to present her as this cold and calculated character, which she very much is in the original, but that decision feels reckless.
It feels foolish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the addition of the evil Duke who's, like, manipulating. And
yeah.
I don't like him a whole lot. I changed my mind about this. In the beginning, I was like, why do we still have the animals here?
Because we're going for cute. A realistic
thing. But gosh darn it, it was worth it just to see the scene where she carried them home in her shoe. But
I love the animals.
Here is my big gripe with the animals, and it's honestly my biggest gripe of the entire movie. In the end of, in the end of the animated one, when the stepmother locks her in the room upstairs, she is screaming and crying and, you know, shaking the door, and she asks her animal friends to go get help. It's terrifying. And in this one, while I've said before, I love the notion of her being kind and patient and, you know, facing her trials. I do take back what I said earlier about her not really showing courage. I do think she does mm-hmm. in this movie. There's the scene where she's, like, dancing around her room, remembering the ball.
Yeah.
And she's like, the ball would fade into her memory, just like her father and mother. And she's just given up.
Yeah. And sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, I was just going to say that. And then the animals are the ones who open the window so that she's heard singing. And I don't know. Even if what we had seen was like her kneeling by the window and she's just cried mm-hmm. and wept, and almost in this moment of defeat she's trying to console herself and she sings this song from her mother and she doesn't know that they're down there, I would have been more okay with that than her being like la 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 la.
I agree. I think it sends a bad message that, like, you know, like, you've been abused, but just hold on to those happy memories.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's this, like, you know, don't worry. The bad things in your past will become memories.
Mm-hmm.
So when bad things come your way, just know that it'll get better.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't care for.
Yeah, and I think, of course, like, you know, if you have suffered something terrible and then you have, like, positive memories that you cling to, obviously there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what bugs me about it is that scene as, like, almost like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Or that, like, somehow it enhances or proves her kindness, whereas, like...
That's not kindness. She's not being kind to anyone.
She's not being kind to herself.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, my... I did like... There was one line that I really liked, and it's very quick. It's very brief at the end when they're looking at the portraits of their parents after they've been married. And he says, "We still need to make a portrait of you." And she says, "Oh no, I'm not cut out for portraits." And he takes her hand and he says, "Be kind." And he's talking about be kind to yourself. Because Cinderella is the only person who she has not been kind to throughout this movie. Mm-hmm. Also, my last problem. Why, when he says, "Who are you?" at the end, does she say,
yeah,
Cinderella? Because one of the best scenes in this movie is after the stepsisters name her Cinderella and they banish her from the table and they've completely cut her out from the family. Does she go downstairs and she drops that plate and then just breaks down? And it is this mark of just sadness and shame. And so I didn't like this whole, like, no, I'm accepting this part of myself. That's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Even if they had changed the line to, like, I've been called Cinderella or something like that, where she's, like, saying that, like, you know, this is kind of... They could have had a moment to say, like, this is who I have been.
I've been called Cinderella. I've been called a mystery princess.
Yeah.
My father called me Ella, servant girl. And that's who I am. Yeah. Or something. Like...
Or maybe, like, even if there's a moment where he said, well, what should I call you?
Yeah.
You
know,
call me Ella.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism. And I think something that they do a really good job of developing the theme of kindness. Mm-hmm. And I buy that she's a kind person.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts is when I like that she asks why. She just finally cracks and she looks at the evil stepmother. She says, why? Why have you done this to me?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, because you were... What does she say? She says,
you are good and innocent.
Innocent and fair. And you can tell that... And she doesn't say it. There's this unspoken, and I am not.
Yeah.
But...
Or, and I was, but now I'm not. There's something.
There's something there. And I
like
that really
we
like
don't
that
get
part.
The full answer.
I do too.
Okay, I do want to talk to you about this, because you said this was something you didn't like, and it's actually something that I really do. I love that the, you know, the stepmother tries to stop her by being like, I am her mother, and she's like, you've never been my mother. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But at the very end, she says, I forgive you. And you said you liked that didn't happen in the 50s movie.
Yeah. What I like about the 50s movie is that Cinderella shows no malice to the evil stepmother and her stepsisters. However, she does cut them out of her life. And here's the thing. If someone genuinely tries... I think there's something to be said maybe for forgiving someone or maybe not even that, like maybe just letting go of like the anger you feel towards them, because that can be really freeing and releasing, like it can be a good release for you. But I don't think that the stepmother, and I get that they're trying to build into this whole thing about her being kind, but I don't think kindness has to include giving people what they don't deserve. I think kindness is giving people what they do deserve in the positive. You know what I mean? Giving people the benefit of the doubt when they're having a bad day.
Right.
Helping people when they need help. Feeding people. Helping people get clothes. Making sure their rights are taken care of. Like, making sure that they, you know, feel loved and supported. But if someone physically abuses you and verbally abuses you, like the stepmother does to Cinderella, and then never apologizes for it, to me, it's one thing to say, oh, well, she doesn't deserve Cinderella's forgiveness. I think we all recognize that. Mm-hmm. But it might, I don't know, I almost feel like it's a disservice to Cinderella herself. Because she deserves better.
Yeah.
And I don't think you have to be malicious to someone to not forgive them. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, I think there's a line that can be drawn there where I think all she has to do, like, I would have just, you know, I don't know how I would have rewritten that line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have had her say anything. I think I would have had her just look back, and there would have been this poignant moment of her and the stepmother looking at each other,
mm-hmm.
and then she just turns away.
Yeah.
Like, she is letting go, and then the stepmother has to live with the consequences of her actions.
Yes. I will say, so, okay, so the short answer is that, or the short response from me is that I am actually, as far as the choice of keeping the line in there, I'm actually the opposite. I actually love that they had that line.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think I would not have felt the same way. How do I put this? There's a couple of reasons why I think it works before I talk about why I like it. So, first off, I am glad that they did say that Cinderella, like, the narrator says, like, and they left the kingdom and Cinderella never saw them again.
Yeah.
So, like, there is the establishment that, no, she is not keeping these people in her life.
Right.
And they're also not keeping the house, mm-hmm. which, you know, that
she lets go of that as well.
Yes. I also think that, I mean, we talked about how we like Kate Blanchett's, like, performance in this. I think her reaction after she says that is really significant and poignant. And here is why I like it. I don't feel like the Cinderella story, and I think this is true of all fairy tales, none of them ever address the theme of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually something that really fascinates me and that I've actually put a lot of thought into. They are all about the wicked getting their comeuppance,
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, pious, good, patient, excuse me, people being rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
But they never have to actually confront their, you know, the people who have hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sort of whisked away and we don't deal with that.
And that is, I think that's part of too why I love the part where she says why.
Yes.
It's one of the things that I liked in Ever After too, the mm-hmm. part where
all I ever wanted was your love.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of the exploration of the, like, bad mother.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Archetype.
So, the reason ultimately why I like the I forgive you line, and I need to preface this, is that I don't feel like she had to say it. Like, it very much feels like it is her choice. And I do think that being a forgiving person is a noble quality to have. I think it's an incredibly difficult quality to have.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that when we elevate, you know, you need to forgive them to the same level as, you know, or if you don't forgive them, then you're as bad as the person who hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that sentiment. I think that forgiveness is an incredibly noble and difficult quality to have, but I think that does stem from the idea of her kindness and goodness being her superpower. Right. She did not have to offer her that in that moment. She could have just left with the prince and called it a day.
Mm-hmm.
But she chooses to extend something to this person that she does not have to.
Yeah.
And I do like that. I completely understand your perspective, though, in watching that and not...
And that's the like thing that. I am a little conflicted on it because I see your perspective, too. Mm-hmm. And I think there is something, like, very cathartic about the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because forgiveness can be about letting go.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't think it always is that. You know? And I don't think it has to be. But I think that's a valid interpretation. But I just don't... I don't know. To me, as I've grown up, there are some Disney villains that... I don't know if y'all can hear that. My husband is playing World of Warcraft with his friends online, and he's, like, screaming. I kind of lost my train of thought. Crap, Kyle.
No, you were saying the forgiveness being warranted.
Oh, I was talking about Disney villains.
Disney villains, thank you.
So with Disney villains, as I've grown up, the ones that are the scariest to me are different than the ones that were scary when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, when I was little, like, Night on Bald Mountain Chernabog was scary. Ursula was scary, and Maleficent was scary. Don't get me wrong. They're still queens, and I love them. Jafar was scary. But now that I'm older, the ones that scare me the most are Lady Tremaine.
Gaston,
and Frollo.
Yep.
Because those three are real people.
They're real.
They don't have magic. Mm-hmm. They don't have, you know, they don't have tentacles, and they can't become, you know, the size of a giant, and they don't turn into a dragon.
They have real world power.
Yes. And they use that real world power to oppress our protagonists.
Yes.
And I think now that I've grown up, those are definitely the scariest three. Because, like, you know, I've met people, like, I'm lucky enough to have a mom that's, like, pretty cool. And we get along really well. But I know people who don't have that relationship with their mom. And I've seen what it does to a person.
Yep.
You know, and I've seen how it, like, destroys their self-esteem. So when I see Lady Tremaine, I'm like, ooh. Yeah, that's bad. Like,
it's hard, especially because, like, especially you bringing up those other villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would I feel watching, you know, Hunchback of Notre Dame if Quasimodo had a moment where he said, I forgive you, to Frollo? I would not like that. But I also feel like, thematically, that doesn't fit in that story.
Right.
And
what's interesting is that Quasimodo doesn't... What's interesting about these three villains is that none of these protagonists... In those three stories, the protagonists do not defeat the villains.
Yeah, they destroy themselves.
Yeah. Which, you know, we like to think that bad people do destroy themselves. And sometimes they do. Not always, unfortunately.
Modern Disney has this fascinating thing where the bad guy... I don't know if they'll ever kill a bad guy again. Which I kind of wish they would.
Mm-hmm.
But they're either...
They killed Gothel.
Yeah, but that was the last one, and that was over a decade ago.
Tangled was not a decade ago.
It was.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. They love having twist villains, reformed villains, villains who are chained up and locked up by the end. But I don't know if we'll ever see them destroy themselves again.
I hope we do. I mean, like, to me, Like, thinking of the more recent Disney villains, Hans is boring. Like, after you find out...
I kind of like Hans, personally. I like Hans, if only for the scene when he follows Elsa out on the lake and is like, I tried to save her, but it was too late. Because you can see he does the performance really well.
Yeah, I don't know. He's alright. He's just not my favorite.
He's not my favorite either, but I do like him.
Who else? Frozen 2 didn't really have a villain.
No.
Frozen 2 was a hot mess. We can watch that at some point and talk about it.
I would love to talk about it because and we've talked about this, I really enjoy Frozen 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much in it that I like that it overshadows what I don't.
Yeah, and I'm the exact opposite.
Before we go too far down the new Disney canon rabbit trail, I feel like that's it for me as far as what I don't like. I feel like we spend a lot of time on what we don't like.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's it for me. I don't have anything else I don't like.
It's funny. I don't feel like I have big overarching story things to talk about what I do like in this movie, but there are so many little things about this movie that I love. Do we want to just take turns? You just say a thing and then I'll say a thing because yes. We have a lot.
Yes.
Go.
Cottagecore.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, are we doing like lightning round with this?
Oh. I can elaborate. I'd love to elaborate. So do people not know? Just in case
assume they know what cottagecore is. If you don't know what it is, go Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
It's an aesthetic, like you live in a cottage.
Yes. So like the florals and the little cute dresses and the pastels and the little gardens and the goose.
All of the artwork in the estate home and all of the lovely murals on the walls.
Yeah, like, the wallpaper is everything.
Yeah, I don't know if the interior of that farmhouse hits cottage core quite, but like
I feel like it's in the ballpark. But definitely her little like apron does, and her little like hair ties. Yeah. And
okay, this is like a small complaint about the movie. I get that she has to be differentiated from the stepsisters who wear different gaudy things all the time, but she only had one freaking dress besides her ball gown in this entire movie.
Yeah, and it feels like if they had done that, like, it would have almost been interesting if she had nicer dresses and then became a servant. Yeah, and we saw them becoming worse. Or it would have almost been interesting if at first she has a nice dress and then we see that after her father leaves, maybe she starts rewearing that dress and it becomes really ratty, and then eventually she gets her servant outfit. That might have been cool.
Yeah.
So we start seeing that, like, even in terms of her clothing, she's no longer taken care of.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to send that down a negative train.
No, you're
good. Aesthetic is...
Mwah.
And I said this, I love that because they go for that for the whole movie, mm-hmm. and it's spring and everything's in bloom and green, that their wedding at the end is actually in winter and there's snow everywhere.
It's like a metaphorical clean slate. Everything's yes. wiped clean. It's white and pure.
Yes. I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
It's like the only time that would ever work for me in a movie, because usually you gotta end in springtime because it's a rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
But I was down for this.
Yeah.
You like the cottage core. I am all here for that royalty core. Like,
yeah.
I've gushed about the ballroom scene. This movie had a scene where he and all the noblemen have a fencing practice for no reason.
Girl!
This movie...
The boots.
The boots in this movie were shiny. The pants were perfectly tailored. The jackets were trim. The garden was perfect. I said that all I want in life... A wedding, sure. What I really want is to be the main character at a ball, to dance, to make a grand entrance, and then for a man to walk me through a garden professing his love to me.
And to show me his secret garden.
Where he pushes me on a swing! I can't begin to express how much that is me and all that I want. And I know that I'm like, all I want is a palace. But not like permanently. Just like one night.
Just one night to be a princess.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where to start with this one.
Uh-huh.
I love Richard Madden so much. Good so night. Much. He's so handsome.
He has the best prince hair.
His hair is so good.
His eyes are so blue.
His eyes are so good.
His teeth? Is that a weird thing for me to be like, that man's teeth are perfect?
No. I will never forget when he died on Game of Thrones. Like, Robb Stark died at the Red Wedding. It's been like 10 years.
I said it was a joke.
Oh. I was like, what? No, but when he died on Game of Thrones, a huge, like, piece of my soul died with him.
Mm.
Jon Snow will never be my king in the North. It will always be Robb Stark.
Jon Snow was my king in the North for, like, a season. Like I had a peak
Jon Snow.
Jon
was
Snow
king in the North for, like, 5 minutes, and then he was just like, my queen.
My queen! Lightning McQueen!
I love doing Jon Snow impressions. Like, I'm not even that
it's
good at them.
It's my favorite thing to
he,
do.
He, like, turtle faces all
I don't
the time.
Want it. I don't want to be king.
I'm a brother of the Night's Watch.
She's McQueen.
McQueen. Poor Jon Snow. He had so much going for him. And then that last season, he just was reduced to McQueen.
Those
and that was
two
it.
Two seasons, brah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was bad. Anyway.
He's
beautiful and perfect.
That's my next thing. Richard Madden. His acting is so sincere.
Yes.
We cried.
Okay, that's what I was actually...
I had a feeling.
My next thing I was going to say. I love the king in this. Every scene that he's in is perfect. And we're watching it, and I'm like, I'm really enjoying... This movie's picking up. I'm enjoying it a lot more. We had the ball scene, which was mwah. And then the king is dying. And I'm just crying. I'm just crying everywhere. And I forgot that I cried in this movie because when I saw this in theaters, I remember this distinctly. We went the day before one of my best friends, Holly, got married. And we took her to it. Gosh, this says a lot. We took her to it because we knew that there was a new animated Tangled short before this movie when they got married, and she didn't know it, and we brought it to her to surprise her with the short.
Aww.
But then we watched this, and I was like, oh, this is so romantic and perfect just before a wedding. And then the king was dying, and I forgot about that scene, and I forgot about how sincere and beautiful it was, and I just looked over at you with just tears pouring down my face, and I was like, wait, now I'm remembering this happened to me in the theater too.
It's yeah, but the acting is so good. The part that gets me, the script is so good.
It's well-written dialogue.
It is. And but the little part where Cinderella tells Kit, All we can do is have courage and be kind. And he says, just so. And then when his father is dying, he repeats
all
Ella's
we can
words.
Do is have courage
and his
be kind.
Dad says,
just
so.
Yep. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
I just really like it a lot.
Yeah. That's honestly, all my favorite scenes in this are the ones that are, like, really sincere and heartfelt. And they're always, so, like, you know, I mentioned earlier when she drops the plate and cries.
Yeah, that
Excuse
one's
me.
Really good.
The father dying. Any moment when Kit is putting the glass slipper on her foot... Oh my Lanta.
I haven't heard oh my Lanta in a long time.
There is no
the tension.
There is no R-rated scene that will ever be as, like, oh my.
Yeah, it got us flustered. Me.
As that moment. Mm-hmm. There's something about, like, her breath hitches a little bit when she's, like, pulling her dress up and he's like, may I? She's like, please.
It's the intimacy.
It's so
the intimate. Trust. His willingness to, like, be kind and serve her and put her shoe back on. It's so romantic.
Honestly, at the end, when he gestured to the chair and he was like, please. I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening again!
My favorite scene. It's such a subtle thing, but there's this moment where she... Oh my god.
Sorry. Your dog can't Our decide, dog if it wants to decide be what room outside.
She wants to be in. She's like a cat. But there's this scene where the clock is about to strike midnight and she's like, oh my god, and she freaks out, and then she's like, mice, and there were some lizards and a pumpkin. It's a lot to explain. I gotta go. And before he chases her, Kit sits down on the swing that she was in and is like, pumpkins and mice? And he looks really confused for a second, and then he smiles, and you can tell that he's like, I'm gonna marry that bitch.
Yeah. Like, she crazy.
She crazy. I like it. I love it.
Oh, like, oh, go ahead.
But that's my favorite. That moment you could see in his eyes where he, like, is like, she is the weirdest girl I've ever met in my life. I'm going to marry her. And I love it so much.
Speaking of that moment, love the carriage transformations, the animal transformations, mm-hmm. the dress design. Transformations.
Yes.
Like, they really milked them, and I didn't mind it. It's just, like, they wanted to go for something that was so rich and sumptuous, and they really delivered. I love when she's coming back, and the carriage starts turning back into a pumpkin, and you see her inside, and, like, you see all the seeds down the side of the pumpkin. Like, the details...
Yeah, that part's so cute.
The details are so good and cute, and she's being bounced around inside. Oh, she does so many things where I looked at you, and I was like, she's adorable.
She is the cutest
person. So, like, the carriage goes around a corner really fast, and she jostles back down and goes, oh my goodness!
It's so cute!
It's just precious. So, I think that's, like, again, like, the aesthetics are either, like, really rich and beautiful and gorgeous, or else I'm just like, oh, it's just cute.
I think that's all around, like, this is just a feel-good movie. Like, yes. If I had to give it one more thing that, you know, I could say about what I liked, it's just that this movie made me feel good.
Yes.
I like the actor who plays her dad. I love Hayley Atwell as her mom.
Right?
I love...
Beautiful people.
Beautiful people. I love the sincerity of the relationships with everyone. The acting is good. You know, some of the shots are just gorgeous.
The shot of the stepmother coming down the stairs. We talked about the shot when she comes into the ballroom. Like, you talked about the contrast between the gold and the blue dress. Mm. The way that dress moves is pure art.
Kenneth Branagh's like, I want you to bow to the whole ballroom, even if it doesn't make sense. Because we need to see that dress move.
Because I asked you, I was like, who is she curtsying to? And you're like, it doesn't matter!
It's true. It's just so good.
And then she bumps into the king on the way out.
Oh, that, like, part is so cute.
Your son is the loveliest person I've ever met.
So
he loves
cute.
You so much.
But yeah, all of it's great. So kind of, we've talked about this. We talked about this when we watched Les Mis. That when you do a camera angle, you need to think, why am I doing this camera angle?
Oh, yeah. This was a thing. This was a good thing.
And it doesn't always... Like, sometimes the answer is because it looks good, and that's fine. But if you're really, really being, you know, thoughtful about it, you say, how does this camera shot enhance my storytelling? And, you know, Les Mis is like, we're going to use a Dutch angle because I like how it looks, but Dutch angles are supposed to, like, make things feel, like, unsettled.
Yes.
And so it doesn't make sense when they're used in Les Mis. This movie never does that. When you see each shot, it feels super intentional.
Yes.
There's one scene where she's running away and the clock is about to strike 12 and it gets really like topsy-turvy off kilter and it moves with her and it enhances mm-hmm. this notion of like this moment being intense and like the desperation that she feels yeah. to like get through the room.
She's bobbing and weaving her way out.
And then the camera bobs and weaves too. There are times where we don't see the prince's face when he's trying to get through the crowd because we're more aligned with the stepsisters who are chasing after him. And they're not interested in him as a person. They're interested in, like, fawning over him. And also, it draws our attention to the stepsisters as a hindrance, a physical hindrance for yeah. him. So, it just, like, every shot was thought about very clearly. Yes.
Yeah. And I remember thinking this when I left this movie the first time, that I felt like I had just read a, like, painted, illustrated, you know, version of Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made me feel, and I haven't watched this movie in certainly a decade, but I remember when I was younger feeling that way when I watched the live-action Peter Pan. Like, it was just beautiful to look at, and it felt like a painted storybook.
I haven't seen that one in so long.
We're gonna watch that on here for sure.
Yeah, I know we need to.
But that's kind of how I felt watching this. And we talked about the dialogue feels like it's out of a fairy tale. You know, she says, like, when she's getting out of the carriage, and she's like, I'm just a girl. And he says, I'm just a lizard. Enjoy the moment while it lasts. Like,
I love Mr. Lizard so much.
Why isn't he in the movie more? Why yeah. didn't we see those lizards okay, beforehand?
Yeah. Kenneth Branagh, what's up with Mr. Lizard?
Yeah.
Explain?
We saw the goose, like, a million times.
Yeah.
And then he was there at the end. I'm agree. Like, where that nice lizard at? He was so nice. I loved, yeah, it's just, yeah, those little moments are just very, very yeah. sweet.
And I feel like I don't have that much else to say about it other than that it's pure joy and that Disney should take note and consider in the future, like, what makes this film good is that it pays homage to
mm-hmm.
Cinderella, like the 1950s animated mm-hmm. feature, without being the same film.
I just remembered my other favorite part of this movie.
What?
This movie has the greatest town crier.
Hear ye!
Hear ye! Hear ye! And he says it just like that, and he's like, hee-ah-ye! And I was like, why isn't there, like, a remix yet with hee-ah-ye? Hee-ah-ye!
TikTok, get on that.
Please. It's so good. Way to go, town crier.
Way to go, town crier. So, speaking of town criers, Lizzie, why don't you give us a little shout-out for our next film? I tried to make that a segue. It didn't work. I tried.
I don't actually... Well, first off...
What are we watching next?
I don't know, because you said that like I was supposed to know what other movie had a town crier in it. And I'm so confused.
No, it's not that there's a town crier. I was trying to tell you to be the town crier and I'm tell our sorry. Audience what our next film
well,
was.
Well, before we do
I
that...
I just didn't do a very good job of it.
Before we do that, what is your final rating of this film?
Oh, 2 out of 2 glass slippers.
Mm.
This is as good as it gets with the Cinderella film. This is what you want out of a Cinderella movie.
Mm.
This is 4 out of 4 mice, 2 out of 2 slippers.
I think, I think I would give it, like... Ooh, I'm trying to decide here. I think I would give it... I'm always trying to think of something within my number range. I would probably give it 4 out of 5 guards standing behind the prince unnecessarily in many of these scenes.
That's fair.
Okay, last good thing about this, when he magically reveals that he was there.
And it was like a RuPaul. It was like, it was such a like Drag Race reveal.
Like, I'm sorry, nowhere. Lady Tremaine. Oh
my god.
I kind of want to rewatch this and see if I can pick him out in the background.
All I could think of was like, that
like, was he Padme Amidala-ing it the whole time, right? When he was really there?
You remember, I don't know if you watched Drag Race, but there's a gif of Michelle Visage just like snapping, yes, and waving her, yes, arm, I've like this. That was me when he took off that cape. I was like, yes!
So I guess here's the big question before we, are we doing like every Cinderella movie, or do we think we need to take a break and do Cinderella-esque next? Do we need to bite the bullet and do the Bingerton, or do we have enough stamina for one or two more Cinderella movies?
Okay. So if we did, the only other Cinderella movie we really talked about was Ella Enchanted.
We
right?
talked about Ella Enchanted, and we also talked about Cinderella 3: A Twist in Time.
Oh, that's true. Maybe we should take a quick Bingerton break, and then we can.
Let's be
it'll
real.
It'll be more like two. That's, Cinderella month is kind of stretching out into like 2 months.
Yeah, it is a little.
It's
bit.
It's fine.
And Bridgerton's like kind of Cinderella adjacent. Sort of.
I'm interested in watching more of the Cinderella films. I am itching to watch more movie musicals with you.
Yeah.
So maybe we should even like table Cinderella for a little bit, take a break, come back. But yeah, I definitely
go see a musical.
A musical.
There's nothing as amazing as a musical. I'm really sorry that the internet just had to listen to me sing.
What? Why am I blanking on what musical
is? That is from Something Rotten.
That is what that's from.
Yep.
Yep, that's a thing.
If you haven't listened to Something Rotten, go. It's hilarious. It's delightful.
Really, it's good. It's fun. So yeah, I think Bingerton, next time we're together, Bingerton.
Yes.
And then, Bingerton will probably have to be like a two-parter, maybe a three-parter, because there's several. Well, probably.
I think, let's be real, it makes sense for a two-parter, because there's the first half, which is the good enemies to lovers, and then there's
the second half.
But let's be real, the second half is the drama. No one cares about the Duke and Duchess at that point. I care about who is Lady Whistledown.
I felt so justified when they revealed who Lady Whistledown is. So, in advance, if you have not watched Bridgerton, first of all, what's wrong with you? Second of all,
we gonna spoil everything.
So get out there and watch it and enjoy the Duke of Hastings.
Mm.
I think about the Duke of Hastings
a little more often than I have any right.
My favorite thing is that, and we can talk about this a little bit more when we get to it. Well, I guess not. I'll just tell. It's a short story. I have this problem where every time I try to watch a show by myself, Kyle inevitably walks through the room and then realizes he's interested because mm-hmm. we have the exact same taste. And Kyle will watch anything remotely Jane Austen. Like, it takes him about 10 minutes. And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm really into this. I was, like, invested in Daphne and Simon. Kyle was, like, ride or die. Like, they were fighting, and he was like, what?
Stop fighting.
He was like, Liv, what are we gonna do? He was like, they just need to be together and be happy. I just love them so much. So, yeah, he was, like, honestly way more into it than I was.
That's really funny.
So, yeah, maybe he'll even pop in briefly, and I'm sure he'll want to rewatch some of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah, Bingerton next week, finally.
Finally.
Here we go.
At long last.
Thanks for sticking around with us and for you know, hearing us talk for this one's long too, for over an hour about Cinderella.
Yeah, we gotta start like scripting.
We talked for over an hour about Kenneth Branagh's
Cinderella.
No, let's be real. We talked for over an hour about Kit.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
No shame!
No shame!
Don't worry. We're going to get to Duke of Hastings for no longer.
Be kind. Love Richard Madden. And have a good week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye! Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at Liv and Lizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trashy you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!